Hello, everyone. My name is Sarah Nicastro. I am the Vice President of Customer Engagement at IFS and creator of Future of Field Service. We are here today at Abbey Road Studios in London celebrating the announcement of the Service Visionaries 100. I have a group of folks with me. We're going to have a conversation about what being a service visionary means. I'm going to let each of these folks introduce themselves. Andy, do you mind going first?
Sure. So I'm Andy Ketchner. I'm General Manager for GE Healthcare Digital.
Jan van Veen, founder and managing director of More Momentum, which basically is a service community for service leadership teams and service innovation teams.
Malavika Tohani, and I'm the research director for the operational excellence team here at Verdantix. Verdantix is an independent tech research and advisory firm.
Excellent. Roy?
And I'm Roy Dockery, Vice President of Field Operations for Flock Safety, a U.S.-based public safety operating system startup headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia.
What are the defining characteristics of a service visionary? And we're each going to pick one.
I'd actually say it's empathy. I think a lot of our innovation, our ideas will actually come from caring for the people that serve us as followers and then the customers that we serve as well. So I think the more that we develop and kind of encourage empathy, that caring is not a bad thing, that caring can generate revenue and innovation and be catalytic, I think is something that you need to be visionary because it's always going to be changing.
Yeah, so the areas of innovation will change, but empathy should remain constant.
Yes.
Makes sense. Okay, Mal?
I would say somebody who leverages innovation well and has an impact with innovation, not just for the sake of adopting innovation or digital technology, but to truly make a change.
Jan?
I think it's about building the service business or service function of the future. So having a clear view of what are the trends, what is the developments in the industry, in the market for customers, technology, but also translate that into what is your view of the future of your own service business or business as a whole?
For me, it's communication bi-directional. So what I mean by that is with your own workforce and understanding the purpose why you're delivering a service and the consequences if you get it wrong and what it means to the end customer, but also communication from your customers. We're so reliant on data nowadays that this is the sense of direction that we should be going, but we don't actually do the acid test with the customer to say, is this right? And does this really fit the mold? And not every customer is the same. And how can you customize certain components but still meet the customer's sort of criteria? So direction of communication, both within the organization, externally, is absolutely crucial.
I think service visionaries and the companies overall that are embracing the power of service are ready to leverage that resource and tap into that potential, what does really matter at the customer locations. How can you create that experience that will increase loyalty, things like that. Yeah. Mal, anything you would add?
I also think being unbiased. It is difficult sometimes. I come from a perspective where we obviously research technologies, and for us, service visionaries or service firms are somebody who helps implement those technologies. And it's very important that those service visionaries are unbiased and really taking into account what the customers want, what's the best way to address their challenges rather than maybe promoting their own agenda. And a lot of the times, if that balance is not there, that unbiased view is not there.
Do you believe the wider business understands the impact? So some of the things we just talked about, the results that come from a service visionary and the service function, do you think the wider business understands those results and where they're coming from?
I think they do, but the reality is they don't.
Okay.
So organically, if they're performing well, they think our service is great, but they haven't actually assessed to see whether it is or it's not. It's only when they've gone from market one position to market two, three, and four, and then they realize, hey, we've got something fundamentally wrong. But it's almost a little bit too late then because the damage has been done. If you've given a bad experience to a customer, it takes you five times as long to get that back because you've got to build that trust again.
And in my situation, five-year-old company, I think they know they don't know. But it's the interest that's dangerous. So if you don't know, right, you've got your unknown unknowns. Like, if you don't know, you should be trying to learn instead of just kind of taking it for granted.
If you were creating a masterclass for service leaders, what would be your number one area of focus and why?
The customer, simple as that.
I think it would be good to at least have some elements of strategy management in there, because we are seeing that service historically is a kind of operational department, and that's now shifting into a kind of strategic business line. So the strategy management, formulating strategy, executing strategy on all levels in the organization, I think that's a capability or skill we can benefit a lot from if you build that in service businesses. So maybe add that one in the masterclass.
I would say developing skills to keep an eye on the future and be ready to learn. I think we just heard a panel which said keep your minds open and always learn. So I would say keep your minds open, look at what tech is coming out and empower yourself with the skills to try and leverage that.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Roy? Empathy?
Not empathy. It's funny. I'm going to go the other direction. I actually think people need to learn how to lean into conflict. People have to learn to listen past being offended. Like, get over your feelings and, like, lean into the conflict, because there's honesty in there that you can definitely leverage. And I say it all the time, like, you know, I've done a lot of visionary stuff in my career, but it was normally because of conflict. It was normally because of an upset customer or an upset employee or, like, a cross-functional gap that I, like, leaned into and was like, hey, if we fix this, we can move, like, a lot in one, you know, in one sitting. And I think that's it. But I don't know. We're conditioned to be, like, nice and to avoid conflict and to not argue at work. Mm-hmm. And I think we can be more mature, lead into conflict, and then listen past being offended.
Yeah.
And then ultimately solve a lot of problems and break down silos and all of that stuff as well.
Could I come in on the back of that for
a
second?
Yeah, of course.
We've invested specifically on that, because there's one thing managing conflict, but if you don't train your staff to be able to do that effectively, we train them on products, we train them on selling, but we don't train them on conflict. How are you really going to get to understand how you improve your service?
And there's one little thing I can add that is such a wonderful life hack. When angry customers call me, I never answer the phone. And the reason why, they'll get it all out on the voicemail. Like, they don't care what you have to say. They don't want you, they just want to cuss you out for a moment. I am nice, but I'm not that nice. So I have a tendency, like, I might hang up on you if you curse at me on the wrong day, to be honest. Let them get it all out on the voicemail. And then, first of all, you just provided me the detail. I can go look up what it is. I can call you back, but you've got it all out. And I can summarize what you said, and, like, I don't have to carry all that emotion. Mm-hmm. And I actually taught that to everybody in my leadership team. Like, when you know there's a problem, let it go to voicemail. Call them back in, like, 2 or 3 minutes, right? Like, they don't expect us to be sitting there picking up a phone. We're executives and directors. But let it out. And when you call that person back, their entire demeanor is different than their voicemail. Mm-hmm. Just because no one interrupted them and they got to drop it all out and get it off their chest.